You're listening to the Business of Pharmacy podcast with me, your host, Mike Kelzer. Well, hello, Kelly.
Hi, Mike.
Kelly, introduce yourself and what we're talking about today.
My name is Kelly Ballhoffner, and I work with Ozzy, who you spoke to a couple weeks ago at SRG. And I am focused more on the health system side, negotiations. I also do some work with the company called Merivation that sells a product called OncoBites.
You were with a wholesaler for a while, right?
Like Ozzy, that's where I met Ozzy. We both worked 20 years. I think he was there a little bit longer than me. He was on the Bergen side. I was on the Amerisource side.
Would you have said you were competitors before that? I mean,
yes.
Not necessarily against
yes.
each other, but you were, Amerisource and Bergen were wholesaler competitors.
Yes, they were wholesaler competitors. Amerisource got a very big win. It was basically the Vizient contract away from Bergen, and in the process, the two companies ended up merging. So yes, we were competitors.
They got a win for what?
It was actually Vizient, the group purchasing organization.
Oh.
Used to be Novation.
That was a purchasing group?
Yeah, that was a group purchasing organization. And you know, that's one of the things that makes health systems a lot more what I would call complex than an independent pharmacy, is because of the group purchasing organization piece of it. And a group purchasing organization is basically, you know, it's like a Novation, or which is now Vizient, or a Premier, where it's kind of like a buying group in that, you know, they have special pricing and they have certain things, contract compliance and those type of things that they've got to do to be members. But it is different in that when they go to, say, a Lilly, for instance, and they want their Lilly's product on their contract, they will give Lilly certain parameters of, you know, we're going to have this group of 400 hospitals that are members. And, you know, they are going to be purchasing approximately this much of your product. And then that, you know, they give a price based on that goes, again, on the GPO contracts that are loaded at the wholesaler.
It sounds like what they had was a purchasing organization that actually had some power. Vizient, they're strong enough to almost shut down Bergen. Yet these buying groups in pharmacy don't seem strong enough. If one of the buying groups only started going with one of the wholesalers, I'm trying to think if there'd be a case where in retail pharmacy, one of the wholesalers would say, that was so bad that we didn't get to contract with this buying group that we're going to basically shut our wholesaler down like Bergen did because they didn't get the Vizient thing. So where is the difference there?
The difference is, I mean, when you're looking at, say, an independent pharmacy, or even a buying group, you know, they don't have the same, I'll say, buying power as, you know, a group within the GPO, because a lot of times what these hospitals and IDNs will do is they will band together. And they will form, a perfect example is the Catholic healthcare system. It's a number of Catholic organization hospitals that have banded together for buying power. So what happens is, you know, instead of that one or two pharmacy going away, or, you know, that group of 10 pharmacies going away, you've got, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars that are being lost because this certain group has gone away.
In pharmacy, there's probably no buying group that is quite big enough to demand enough. That's part of it, right?
Yeah, that's part of it.
And they also can pick and choose product and manufacturers a little bit more than pharmacies can, because pharmacies have to have everything available.
Exactly.
Because you can't go into a pharmacy and say, I want this product, I saw it on TV, because the hospitals may not care. They just give you what they have.
Right.
So now let's say that buying groups from pharmacies come along, most pharmacies know that they probably don't have to be in any particular buying group because they know that all the buying groups are going to get probably a decent price, where hospitals probably really try to track down the best GPO because they know they'll get significant discounts, whatever, for being in that buying group. And then when there's more reason to be in a group, then that group keeps getting stronger, right?
Correct. And, you know, and that's the other piece is, you know, in a buying group, like just like you said, you know, that independent pharmacy can decide, okay, I'm going to be in, you know, this buying group or that buying group. And it's not, they don't really sign a long-term agreement of, hey, I'm going to, you know, this is where I'm going to go. Whereas in a GPO situation, that health system actually signs an agreement with that GPO that they're going to purchase so many of their products on contract. And whatever the agreements are, they actually sign an agreement with that GPO. So they're tying themselves in. And that's, you know, when a wholesaler, the example we've been talking about, Amerisource, gets that specific GPO, you know, they have pretty much the power to go out and start pulling those customers over and converting them to another wholesaler because they are tied into that wholesaler.
When you're with a wholesaler then, and Vizient comes to you, you have to give them almost everything because you really need them in all their hospitals.
I wouldn't say everything. You know, there are agreements that are signed and, you know, there's certain parameters. You know, you're going to put contracts in, then, you know, being that I worked very closely with a lot of the GPOs, you know, they would require us to come in and talk about the member compliance, how many of the members that we had, what their contract compliance was, how it benchmarked against the other GPOs, obviously, you know, not giving any names, but, you know, there was a lot of things involved. I went back and listened to Ozzy's podcast this morning, and you know he had mentioned errors or mistakes, and you know he had mentioned the net bill. You know, there's some GPOs that you know won't allow net bills that you know you've got to apply. So there's you know there's a lot of parameters that they put in these GPO agreements. They're all different. You know, and again, some have more buying power than others. And, you know, that's, again, what Ozzy and I are trying to do is to help those health systems. Of course, he's helping independent pharmacies, but to help those health systems to not only understand the complexities of the GPO agreement, which, you know, just the questions that you're asking, I mean, you know how you're understanding how complex it can be.
Yeah, I'm just a schmuck up here sitting here just curious, but these are people that have millions of dollars, you know, behind this trying to figure this out.
Yeah, it's very complex.
It proves the need for what you're doing because...
Yeah, exactly.
You would be mainly the go-between between the hospital and the GPO.
We've actually structured it where, you know, I could do hospital and GPO, but it's mainly the hospital and the wholesaler. And that's, you know, and that kind of goes back to those agreements that the wholesaler and the GPO has. There are a lot of times a grid that they put in there, you know, a hospital that buys this much, you know, it's going to get this cost of goods. If they get this many deliveries, then we'll, you know, we'll take 5 basis points if it, you know, off and so on. So, you know, when you start looking at these grids, you know, a lot of times when the wholesaler goes into, say, hospital prospect A, you know, they're going in there with, okay, here's what we've agreed upon with the GPO, and they're only offering that piece of it. And a lot of times they don't understand that that's a starting point. That is not where it could be, because hospital A and Hospital B are just that, Hospital A and Hospital B. They have different buying patterns. They have different specialty drugs that they may buy. So it may be totally different. And if they're going in and offering this grid that, you know, calls for all these things, it may be, you know, something different that they can negotiate. And that's kind of what Ozzy and I are doing, is we are helping with those negotiations, because a lot of them don't know that they need us, to be honest.
In other words, the hospital's working with you, Kelly, and it's not like they can just go and say, all right, we'll go with Vizient versus these other ones, because Vizient has an across the board, no questions asked, this much better price on every product for every quantity in every situation. We're just going to look at the GPO. We're not going to look at the wholesaler. It sounds like there's got to be some conversation still between the hospital and the wholesaler, because this GPO might be good, but it might not, because it doesn't cover every situation that you need. You might have different products, you might have different drugs you need, different things like that. Would that be fair, that the GPO is not just a overall blanket discount, and so don't even talk to the wholesalers, because there's enough needs that the wholesaler still kind of goes around the edges of the GPO. That's why even they have to talk together.
Yeah, I think that would be fair to say, because like I said, there's a number of agreements in play when you're negotiating that wholesaler IDN agreement. I mean, you've got the agreement with the GPO and the wholesaler that, you know, you're going to do these certain things. You've got an agreement with the IDN and the GPO that they're going to do certain things. And then you've got the agreement between the IDN and the wholesaler.
The IDN is what? What does that stand for?
Integrated Delivery Network. It's like a health system, but it's where you've got a group of health systems that have the same owner.
You might say like a chain pharmacy almost.
You're in Michigan. Trinity, they're in Michigan. They're like an IDN or like a group that has band together.
It's the group under the heading where you might have some pharmacies, some hospitals, this and that. They're all under basically the same
corporate structure. This is kind of becoming a common thing where, you know, they'll have a one delivery where the wholesaler will deliver to a warehouse. And then that warehouse will distribute out to, you know, they have a courier that goes to Hospital A, Hospital B, Hospital C. And so they have their own warehouse.
That can be part of the negotiation where they say, we don't want to deal with that last mile delivery. We want the wholesaler to do that still.
Yeah, we want the wholesaler to go, you know, to this one delivery. If it's just that one delivery, obviously that's going to affect how much the wholesaler is going to have to pay to go out, you know, to hold,
gotcha,
you know, to all of the hospitals. They're delivering to one place and they're taking possession of it and delivering it from there.
Give me an example then of who would come to you. It's going to be someone at the hospital.
Correct.
And what level person is this going to be? Is it going to be like the pharmacy manager or higher up, right?
Actually, within a health system, it would be higher up. It would be more of a CFO, CEO, C-suite kind of coming to us. A lot of times, the supply chain manager or VP of supply chain, pharmacy manager, they are put in charge sometimes of looking at, you know, the agreements. But the thing about that is, we do a line by line analysis, you know, and a lot of these supply chain people, even the CFO, a lot of times, or the, you know, pharmacy manager, they don't have the knowledge or the expertise, and they certainly don't have the time. So, you know, they're just going based on what the wholesaler's giving them. And, you know, it goes back to, like Ozzy said, the piece of paper. You know, we're going to save you this amount of money. Well, okay. But have you done a line by line analysis? No. And so, you know, that's where, again, we come in, is nobody does what we do by going into that detail and looking at, you know, the amount of specialty that they buy, you know, how many products or, you know, what their contract compliance actually would be, how many generics they buy. And, you know, looking at every piece of it and what cost of goods would be applied for that certain category and giving a more holistic rather than just a here's what we can save you.
If you weren't in the picture, are these guys from the C-suite, are they talking to the wholesalers or are they talking mainly to the GPOs or both?
I mean, it could be both. Mainly the wholesaler, because, you know, again, you've got these contracts that they've signed with the GPO, for instance, that are years.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and then they may have a separate agreement with the wholesaler that, you know, maybe a 3-year or, you know, so it's mainly talking with the wholesalers, not necessarily, you know, they're not necessarily talking to the GPO. They may just to figure out what's going to be the best GPO for them. Normally, when a health system or IDN signs up for, you know, a certain GPO, 9 times out of 10, they're not going to change.
Mm.
It's just their, you know, their agreement that they've got with that certain GPO, and it just becomes a long-standing relationship.
Does a GPO, let's see, would they always have just one of the wholesalers? Would they ever have a couple different ones?
Actually, there are a lot of the GPO agreements that will only allow one GPO. They can have wholesaler one and wholesaler two. This one's primary, this one's secondary. So, you know, they can add the GPO contracts to both of them. So they could be with two of the big three.
Seems just a lot like pharmacy. It's like they make this thing complicated on purpose just to screw with people, I think. Smoke and mirrors.
It's very complex. Exactly.
Would you say that? Smoke and mirrors?
Yeah, smoke and mirrors.
Where there's mystery, there's margin, that kind of thing?
I would say that.
That sucks.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And, yeah, and, you know, the thing about it is, you know, Ozzie had talked about the cost of goods applying differently for different types of drugs. Like for a specialty drug, it'd be different. For a brand drug, it might be different. For a smaller margin drug, it might be different. And, you know, in the past, you know, wholesalers weren't necessarily forthcoming with that. And, you know, and, you know, it was one of those hidden things, you know, one of those things that was in the fine print. There goes my air quotes. But, you know, now they're starting to, you know, they put it out there. But again, when they give you that, hey, we can save you this much, they haven't done a line by line.
When you're dealing with these hospital people, are there any of them that are a real pain in the ass as they start getting up to the higher levels? You're a sweetheart, and I'm sure you get along with everybody, and you would never say anything bad about anybody.
Who, me?
But are there any personalities that you come across in general dealing with either wholesalers, hospitals, or the GPOs that you say, of these three, in general, it's tougher to deal with leaders of this because of the type of people they are or because of the nature of the business? And I know that these are potential customers of yours, so you don't want to like go on air and lay into them. But are there any that rub you the wrong way in general?
You are right. I do get along pretty much with everybody. Of course, you know, I think it's my Southern charm. But,
and you got, you know, a cool leopard print shirt on.
I know. But I think that when you start dealing with C-suites, it is a lot more difficult because you're dealing with somebody that has a bottom line in mind, and they have a lot of dollars that go through, you know, what they're over. And you know, when you're talking 2 basis points, you know, you're talking a lot of money that, you know, that they're throwing out the window. And, you know, so I get that, you know, that's that they're a little bit more harder to deal with. And then, you know, I've really not in my career had any GPOs that were what I would say hard to deal with. There was one person at a GPO. I was probably the only person he got along with. And so the VP that worked with that GPO, and every time he went in there to talk to him, he would be sure and take me with him, because he knew that you know, he would not lay into us or, you know, talk to us and, well, y'all aren't doing anything for us. And, you know, of course, he's since retired. But yeah, I mean, it's really just, you know, I'm not going to be mean to anybody. You know, I might tell them how nice, which, you know, in Southern, that's not very nice. But yeah, I mean, it is difficult to deal with some of them sometimes. But again, you're dealing with millions of dollars, so I get it.
Well, I imagine that when you're dealing with community pharmacy versus hospital and so on, a lot of times you're dealing with the owner who for sure doesn't want to give away basis points. But in their head, they're also thinking, okay, there's basis points, but there's also decisions that are maybe not down to personalities, but maybe almost. I know that the driver from this company has a good reputation and he's early. And I know that it's a pain in the ass dealing with this wholesaler as far as returns go and this and that. It's kind of on a personal level still. Not that you want to give away basis points for that, but you might say, you know, I'm willing to give up some bucks a year for this kind of service, something like that. Mm-hmm. Whereas you start probably going up the chain of command with executives at a healthcare organization, IDN or whatever, they're not seeing people quite as much. They might get some of the pharmacy staff bitching at them once a quarter during a meeting or something like that. But the bottom line becomes a lot more important. And I guess maybe that's why, you know, they say customer service goes down as your company starts getting bigger, unless you have a very mm-hmm. tight control of it or it's part of your organization, you know, Amazon or Zappos or any of those kind of things. But you know, money talks a lot.
Oh yeah, money does talk. And that's the other thing that makes the health system different is, you know, a lot of times, like with Aussie, with the independent pharmacies or the pharmacy groups, you are dealing with an owner. You're dealing with somebody that, you know, it's their money. Whereas, you know, when you're dealing with a health system, you're not dealing with an owner. You know, you're dealing with somebody that answers to a corporation that again, it becomes a lot bigger dollar amount. And, you know, that those dollars mean a lot. And I mean, not that it doesn't mean a lot to the independent pharmacy, but, you know, they've got shareholders that they've got to, you know, that they've got to answer to. And, you know, they have so many other people that they've got to answer to.
The owner, the money is important, but the buck stops here. The owner can decide whether that money is more important or less important and so on. But for the executive guy, it's like, it's always there.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, and again, you know, when you're talking about millions of dollars, 2 basis points makes a difference. And, you know, and if that's where, you know, we're important because of that, you know, finding those dollars, so to speak.
As far as GPOs, how many are you dealing with? Are there a big 3 or a big 1 or big 6 or?
There's been some purchasing here and there. Like, you know, Novation bought MedAssets, and I think Amerinet changed names. You know, there's been a lot of movement the last few years, but, you know, if you're looking at a GPO, probably the bigger ones, you've got, probably about 4. You've got HPG, which is Health Trust Purchasing Group. You've got Premier. You've got Novation, and then Interlayer or Amerinet's kind of a smaller one. But yeah, I mean, you're probably looking at probably 4 to 5 actual big GPOs.
I don't know a damn thing about the only thing I know about hospitals when I worked an internship there. Is my coworkers were a mm-hmm. lot more grumpy in general.
Yeah.
And maybe that's a good thing because you've got people that are their true self, you know, their genuine self where they come to morning and if they're grumpy, they're grumpy. And at least you get their true self instead of fakeness. But there were some grumpy ass workers when I was in pharmacy. Yeah. Cause they can just come and be grumpy all day with retail. You might be grumpy, but at least some, well, maybe even more grumpy sometimes with grumpy customers, but it's almost like life happens and you kind of get drawn out of your grumpiness, but there are just some grumpy people in hospital pharmacy.
Well, they're stuck in those little bitty rooms.
Is that right?
You know? Yeah. I mean, you're looking at an inpatient pharmacy. You know, I've gone in inpatient pharmacies that are, you know, no bigger than my closet, you know, and they're crammed in there. And, you know, they got this little desk that they're having to, you know, do their orders and stuff. And yeah, I can see where it'd make you grumpy.
The listeners, they're going to say, no, we have a good time. You know, we have our donut days and we do this. And I'm sure it is.
Oh, yeah.
They probably thought I was grumpy. Yeah. So what?
Yeah, they may have.
All right.
No, they wouldn't think you were grumpy.
Oh, I'm sure they would. All right. So anyways, back on the hospital, it's not like they ship elephants to these people. This stuff is coming in like totes, right?
Yeah.
During the day, hospitals just get a crap load of totes, right?
Exactly.
And like you said, sometimes they have last mile delivery somewhere else.
Yeah.
And then I imagine that in a big organization like that, you've got totes going to the pharmacy and the pharmacy people might be calling the wholesaler. Ozzy was part of the customer service.
I was as well.
Boy.
Yeah, I was as well.
You were too?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my
gosh. It teaches
you
things.
You know, when they talk about hell, they talk about the fires of Gehenna and stuff like that. And I'm like, all right, maybe symbolism. I'm glad I didn't put customer service in there, you know. I'd be a saint right now if they said hell was going to work customer service. Is that a pain in the ass?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
People don't call you, Kelly, and say, hey, just seeing what kind of day you're having.
Oh, no.
Right?
No, they don't. They don't. There was this one customer. He was an independent pharmacy owner. And every time he called, you know, you would tell him something and he would go, unbelievable.
He'd say that every time.
Yeah, he would say it every time. And you know, he'd keep on blah, blah, blah. And then he'd, you know, and then he'd, again, you'd get unbelievable. And so when he called in, we would make sure that we said real loudly, well, hey, John, how are you doing? And so that everybody in the room would know that we had him. And every time he said unbelievable, we'd raise our hand.
You mean he'd be incredulous, like, I can't believe that this is happening to me kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's bad when you're known for that because it's a broken record. You don't listen as closely to him.
Yeah, definitely not. Especially when you start raising your hand every time he says it.
Unbelievable.
Sometimes in these agreements, what I call value adds, where, you know, you've got a wholesaler that does say consulting, where, you know, they consult on a specialty farm, opening a specialty pharmacy or a 340B audit or, you know, and they will add these in there to the agreement as, hey, we'll give you so many dollars to, you know, for consulting. And again, it goes back to Hospital A and Hospital B. You know, Hospital A is totally different than Hospital B. You've got these value adds added in there that they really don't need. And, you know, you're going to base the cost of goods on that. So again, that's, you know, that's something that we look at along with, you know, the pieces of how everything fits together, the line by line analysis, but also, are you going to actually get something out of this value add? Is it going to be something that's going to be valuable to you?
Yeah, you got to be careful when you're a company and you give a value add to a company that's just going to say, well, I'm not doing that. You know, it's like with the wholesalers, they maybe used to say, well, we also have free access to, you know, diabetes, this or that. It's like, well, I might do that a couple of years from now, but I'm not going to do it soon. So that just doesn't do anything. I mean, I'm probably paying for it somehow.
Exactly. And that's, again, where our expertise comes in, you know, reading, evaluating, interpreting these prime vendor agreements that most pharmacies and health systems, they don't know. They just, oh, okay, you know, here's my price and, you know, it looks good. I'm going to make this savings. Okay, I'll renew or I'll sign. And, you know, that's not always a good thing to do.
Well, that brings up a point about the value adds, because if anything, that's a negotiating thing. You know, you can say, look, there's 10 value adds on here. If you think these are important and I don't, you know, there is money going to these. So what else can I get back if I'm not doing that?
Exactly.
So Kelly, this is for the whole hospital. So is this like gloves and all the supplies for everything? Or what kind of things do these wholesalers supply actually?
The wholesalers supply mainly drugs.
Oh, mainly drugs. Okay.
Mainly drugs.
It's not really the supplies necessarily.
Not necessarily. I mean, you do have some of the wholesalers that, you know, like AmerisourceBergen, for instance, that we worked at. You know, they carry a certain amount of gloves and things, you know, and things like that. But you know, most of those are handled by the supply chain agreements and the supply chain rather than the pharmacy agreements. Whereas, you know, they may have a different company that actually supplies those.
Once in a while, I'd be in a hospital and I would see something, you know, either a Cardinal, mm-hmm. whatever it was, a thermometer, you know, whatever. So most of these hospitals, they're getting all of their gauze and obviously their utensils for the surgeries and all that. They're getting these from a different hospital, the supplier?
Usually. I know Cardinal has a certain branch, is what I'll call it, that sells those type supplies. But, you know, not all the wholesalers do that. I mean, they focus more on the pharmaceuticals, what actually comes through the pharmacy, rather than supply chain stuff like supplies, like gauze.
They focus on actually what physically might go through the pharmacy.
Exactly.
Gotcha. So those crates are not going off to all these other parts physically of the building. They're mainly going to the pharmacy for those.
I mean, you may have, if say they have, we touched on retail pharmacy, you know, if they've got a retail pharmacy in their lobby, you know, you'll have some totes that will go to them, and then you'll have some totes that will go, you know, to the inpatient pharmacy. Sometimes they have it delivered all to the inpatient pharmacy and they take care of getting it out to the cancer center or whatever. But
gotcha.
But it's mainly just going to that pharmacy.
I imagine you have connections at these places.
Yeah.
Not a connection like a sweetheart connection, but I just mean a connection like you know who to talk to for these. So the variable there is usually the hospital. That's the person you don't know so well normally, right? I mean, you get to know them, but they're not people that you're dealing with year after year. They might be a newer relationship.
In what we're doing, yes. But of course, you know, Ozzy and I both being that we've been doing this for quarter of a century here, collectively, I guess.
You started when you were 4?
Exactly. I was 4 years old.
Yeah. I didn't know they...
Yeah.
It's probably why you didn't do too well in customer service.
Could be.
People chewing your ass out as a 4-year-old.
So, you know, we've certainly got relationships with customers that we've built throughout the years.
Oh, customers too. Yeah the hospitals
yeah.
and that. Gotcha.
So, I mean, we have those relationships. I worked not only with pharmacy directors, but, you know, I worked with some C-suites in some of the roles that I had throughout the years. So we've got relationships in there that, you know, can help.
When finally the signing goes down, you know, at one of these things, I mean, in our pharmacy, when I finally sign one of these, it's like, you've already seen this, you're just signing it. But when actually these go in force, then is this like a DocuSign kind of thing? Or are you sitting down with like 8 people in person to sign one of these things for a hospital? Some are bigger, some are smaller.
You mean the actual prime vendor agreement?
Yeah, the actual agreement. Is it just someone signing off on it? Or is it more of a, is it almost like a closing on a house kind of thing? It's not that big of a deal where you have attorneys for both sides and all that right? It's smaller than that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like a DocuSign. I mean, it would probably be pretty much like, you know, what an independent pharmacy would do. The only thing is a owner is not signing it. You know, you might have a CFO or a CEO that's signing.
It's not a huge thing. Not like closing on a house.
Not like closing on a house. No.
Oncology. Did you do any of that at the wholesalers?
I didn't necessarily focus on oncology because at the wholesaler, you know, it's more holistic. I did work very closely with Ion and with the oncology team in Dothan that MERSORS had. And, you know, I worked a little bit with them, just, you know, bringing them into certain situations within a health system. But, you know, I didn't specifically focus on anything oncology.
So who do you sell to with your oncology nutrition?
Mainly oncologists.
How does that make your life different than what you've done? I mean, you've always kind of worked background.
I worked in sales.
Oh, you did. What are you doing? Calling them on the phone?
Yeah, calling them on the phone, sending them information, sending them emails. And actually, we just signed an agreement with Texas Oncology and U.S. Oncology, which U.S. Oncology is actually the McKesson GPO for oncologists. It's kind of like the ION. So we just signed an agreement with them that we will actually have. They're adjusting their protocols within each of their practices that will have OncoBites as part of it, but they will also have access within their actual practices for OncoBites, and they will be able to get a special price from their wholesaler, from U.S. Oncology.
They would order it just through their wholesaler.
Yeah.
Sales. I mean, I don't know. Pharmacists aren't really good at talking to doctors. It's just like this thing,
no.
You know, and even if they think they're doing well, then one doctor kind of slaps their hand and they kind of go back in their shell with that. Do you catch these people during surgeries? And it's like, hey, doc, I know you're like replacing this guy's, you know,
no,
liver,
not-
but Kelly's on the phone. I mean, how do you, when you say you're talking to him, you're actually like chit-chatting with the doctor. I don't want to make it sound like it's a movie star you're trying to get a hold of. I just mean it seems like, I assume it's on the phone. You're not probably going around to these places.
Well, of course, right now I'm not.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, and it's mostly talking to, you know, their nurses, their nutritionists.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, yeah.
And you know, building those relationships with them.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have... the company I worked for after leaving AmerisourceBergen, we did a lot of multi-channel engagement, understanding how oncologists engage with their patients, or not their patients, but their sales executives and stuff. And, you know, and a lot of it was through podcasts, through, you know, through just reaching out, emails, those type things.
Yeah.
So, you know, as far as a doctor, you know, it is kind of like getting in with a rock star. It does have its challenges, but it's more of talking to the nutritionist.
If you're not having those conversations with the doctors probably aren't having those with the patients. It's going to be the nutritionists and things like that.
Right. It's going to be the people that actually work with that doctor that, you know, like you said, the nutritionist or, you know, the nurses. And, you know, obviously the doctors have to have a buy-in as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's when the in-services, we have in-services with every single, you know, with all of our customers, and talk about, here's how to introduce OncoBites. And then we also have, you know, a number of things that, like pop-up tents, or, you know, whether it be a brochure or whatever, that the patients can pick up while they're there, and they can actually ask for it. And then, of course, you know, we do a lot of social media and stuff like that.
Recently, I just heard this, that the world revolves around money. I never knew that before.
Really? What?
I imagine that if the doctors can bring some of this back into their group with the OncoBites, they can say, look, now your patient's number one. They don't have to go out and pick this stuff up somewhere at one of the grocery stores. They don't have to have the trouble of doing that. But also, this money can stay into your system. And then you have a little bit more control of actually what they're getting. If there's a new product or something that's going to help them more, it's going to be more beneficial. So it's kind of a win-win-win for everybody.
Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely. And especially with the agreement that we just did with Texas Oncology, where they will actually physically have it in their practice.
Oh, they will.
Yeah. They will actually have it in their practice. They'll have, where they can give it to their patients, whether it be a sample for them to take home, see how they like it, which of course, you know, we've gotten enormous feedback. Right now, it goes based on taste sensitivities because, you know, that's another thing when you're going through chemotherapy, you have different taste sensitivities. Right now, the product that's out is focused on the spice taste sensitivity. We've got one coming out that's a peanut butter chocolate chip in Q1, so it should be coming out any time, that is for the sweet. And then later on in the year, there will be one that is a lemon tart that'll be that sour sensitivity. But they will actually physically have these within the practice, that the patient can get them there. They'll be able to get it on the practitioner's website. The practitioner will be able to get it from the wholesaler, from US Oncology. And of course, you know, that price is not just, you know, the US Oncology deal. It, you know, is open to all of US Oncology members. So it's not just Texas Oncology. It's just that we've got this specific agreement with Texas Oncology right now that, you know, and of course we're working on it for a number of other customers as well.
Yeah. My mother-in-law said, if I ever get this breast cancer again, I'm not going to go through with it. Cause she's, you know, now it wouldn't be worth the payoff probably with the pain versus the extension of life. But oh, if I ever got cancer, it's like the one thing that would be a big decision factor would be, frankly, my mouth. I mean, because pain you can kind of control, you can try to control, but eating and throwing up and the taste of stuff and that taste in your mouth and all that, if you can solve some of that, that's a pretty cool thing. Oncobites. So, Kelly, what kind of people would you ultimately like to have hear this? And let me ask it a different way. Who would be the main person that would decide to call you? Would it be one of those executive people, or would it be someone in the pharmacy who says, look, if we ever do this again, why don't you call up Kelly because she can make sense of all this pharmacy crap or stuff like that? Who would be good hearing this from you right now?
I think ultimately it would be a CFO or, you know, somebody in the C-suite. However, that said, you know, not that the pharmacy, director of pharmacy, has any say. I mean, I know that they have some of the say in wholesaler choices, but, you know, I think that in some cases, it could be a director of pharmacy that would talk to their CFO that has a good relationship, because ultimately, you know, that director of pharmacy answers to them on their pharmacy budget. So, you know, the fact that we can help with, you know, that line by line analysis and help them know what they would really save, what they could save. And it ultimately comes down to that director of pharmacy is directly affected by what their pharmacy spending. So, I mean, obviously he would want to bring down the pharmacy spend.
I don't know anything about hospital, but it seems like the director of pharmacy, you talk about those intangibles, you know, like if the pharmacy director could say, look, yeah, we saved this, we saved $1,000, but if this order comes at 7:30 a.m. and others come at 10:30 a.m., we've just missed the whole whatever, you know, the whole day's cycle of whatever people cycle in a hospital pharmacy, you know, so we could reduce the day's inventory, especially if it's Monday morning, if we're able to get this versus Tuesday morning, there's a whole week cycle of XYZ or whatever, you know. So it seems like if there was a decent relationship between the pharmacy manager and the CFO, it seems like there could be some value in that.
Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely. You know, especially when you've got these director of pharmacies that sometimes their bonuses, or they are directly compensated for the amount of money that they save. And if they're in a meeting with the CFO or with the C-suite and they're asking them, well, why did you spend this amount of money? We need to look, you know, we're looking at another wholesaler or whatever. That director of pharmacy could say, well, I get that we need to reduce this. So why don't we look at SRG, that they will evaluate the entire picture and not just look at, you know, not just hand us a piece of paper and say, okay, well, here's what we can save you. You know, it would benefit the director of pharmacy for us to come in there and negotiate that. And, you know, you saying the deliveries, That's another piece that a lot of times is negotiated in that agreement, that they're going to be there within this certain amount of time. So that's some other pieces that are in those agreements as well, is those delivery pieces. And, you know, you're talking about, like you said, days that if they're getting their delivery at 10:30, you've missed a lot of that sending it out on the floor or whatever. So
if I was in an organization, I would always like, if I could, to have someone like you, Kelly, kind of my consultant, because then you help to save the money, you take a percentage of the savings, but then they can blame you for stuff. I mean, like my stuff, I can't really say, well, I had a consultant. They're like, what? You never have a consultant. You had your buddy that you go to breakfast with. We know what Dave said, you know, this kind of stuff. But you guys, instead of saying, we kind of don't have a real good handle on any of this, we can say, we just hired the wrong person last year. We're going to do this year. You know, it's simple, simple. Blame someone else. Well, Kelly, it's a pleasure talking to you. Glad we got you on this side and Ozzy on the other side talking about SRG, all the good things that you guys are doing there.
Complexities, yeah, for sure.
It's confusing all over, so.
Yeah, definitely.
Let's not incentivize or reward the wholesalers any longer for putting up the smoke and mirrors, or whoever's putting the smoke and mirrors up.
Exactly.
Those days are done.
Yeah, they are.
Let's put an end to that and bring some clarity to this. And we've seen it across the world, you know, with what are the different groups? What's that group of, you know, the women in Hollywood? What's that one
The View?
Called nowadays? No, not those old farts. No. What's the one with the women that, you know, they were abused in
Oh, the Me Too movement.
Me Too, yeah. I mean, Me Too wouldn't have happened without a group of people finally saying, hey, we know what's going on.
Yeah.
We have a bunch of people with phones and communication and things like that. So it's time to step up to the wholesalers, the PBMs, anybody else that thinks they can pull the wool over people's eyes nowadays. You know, this is 2021, you know, and those days are done. So let's get the word out and keep clearing this stuff up. The obfuscation that these wholesalers are doing, or PBMs, we're not going to solve that overnight, but at least can pay a small fee to somebody who knows all these tricks and come out ahead. And in the meantime, everybody can help clear this stuff up a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
exactly.
All right, Kelly, nice talking to you.
All right, nice talking to you.
Thanks. Take care.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Business of Pharmacy podcast with me, your host, Mike Kelzer. Please subscribe for all future episodes.